It's a Thursday on the Sports Ticket. It means it's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle. Excuse me, Matt and Jamie. I got to change that. I've been saying that for so long. But you're creatures of habit, darn it. Scratch that, rewind it, erase that. Oh, wait a minute, it's live radio. Stop by, see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. I'll get this guy's name right. Brian Haney, how you doing, buddy?
I didn't know about Michelle and Jamie. That's breaking news to me.
Michelle. Yeah, exactly. Wish her the best of luck, and welcome Jamie over there at Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Well, it's a new year, and Kansas loses a Texas Tech at home. I would guess you were you as surprised or shocked as some people were that Texas Tech came in there and win, or were you more surprised, as I was, of how they controlled the entire game and never trailed?
Yeah, I think that's the key, the fact that they won it wire to wire and had an answer every time KU made a run and wasn't surprised, knew it was going to happen eventually. And I would have told you, if we were taking a look at the schedule card and forecasting losses, I would have thought the KU split with Tech this year, losing the Lubbock game where the only four all-time losses prior to the other night had ever come, and winning the home game, as Kansas had always done, 17-0 in the Fieldhouse versus Texas Tech. But now you just have to go out there and steal one on the road. And that's the perspective I hope we can impart upon all Jayhawk fans. It stinks to have lost two of your last three home games. And obviously, we haven't seen this Kansas team lose two home games in the same season since 06-07. But it's going to be a year where there's a lot of cannibalization in the Big 12 Conference and teams eating up each other. And for Kansas, you just got to go steal one on the road now. And if I would have told you, Wade, let's speak from a confident standpoint, a positive standpoint, not to be chalking anything up at all, but if they were to win on Saturday, if I would have told you that KU was 2-1 to start league play, not that you would have taken that. We're Kansas. We expect to win everything, right? But
right.
I think you would have felt like, okay, that's probably to be expected when their first three games in the league are all against teams in the top 30 in terms of votes or ranking. And two of the three are on the road, right? And when you consider who KU's next two home games are going to be against, and again, we're not taking anything for granted, just talking about the path here, Iowa State and K-State both at home. Should Kansas win Saturday, you got a chance to be 4-1. Chances are you're already tied for first place at that point when you're hopping on a plane to Morgantown for an epic matchup up there in a place where you haven't won in 4 years. Point is, you can get it back just as quick as you lost it. Yeah, it's a hiccup that we don't become accustomed to seeing when it's the conference home opener, but winning at Texas the other day was a place where a lot of teams are going to lose. And I think it's important to have a bigger picture perspective of it's an 18-game slate. There's going to be a couple of bumps along the road that you didn't expect because the league is that deep this year. And you just got to find a way to go out there, and if you bogey one hole, birdie the next, and get back to where you're at.
No, I agree with everything you said, and I think that's the right perspective to look at. And I think it kind of goes hand-in-hand with this as well, is that there's some people out there, and this is how people do. They overreact. We know that. But there are some people saying that KU, it's a must win at TCU coming up on Saturday, which I think is preposterous because, one, this is only the third game of the conference season. So if KU loses, are they behind the eight ball a little bit? Sure. They could be 1-2, but I remember many teams over the year. I mean, KU had a three-game losing streak in the league and ended up winning the conference during this stretch of 13 in a row. Here's the thing. I think this team, and I said it the other day, and this sounds maybe crazy, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the history of Kansas basketball since I was born is that KU does better in March when they're not heavily favored. They seem to do better when they either have a chip on their shoulder or people aren't expecting as much of them. And people tell me, well, Wade, they were a number one seed in 2008. I said, I get that. They are also, out of the four number one seeds that year, the least likely to win it, according to all the experts. They were not the favorite to win it that year. 88, they won it as a six seed. There have been years where they made the Final Four as a two or a three or a four seed. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're just about ready to jump off a cliff. This Kansas team isn't going to win 14 in a row. This Kansas team will be lucky to be a four or five seed. This Kansas team will be one and done in the tournament. I said, this is the team that's going to probably surprise you that might not win the Big 12, although I wouldn't rule that out yet, but it'll make a run to the Final Four. Because did anybody think Thomas Robinson and Tyshawn Taylor's crew was going to make it to the national championship game? They won ugly. They found ways to win. So we always judge KU basketball on what they do in March and erase a lot of what they did up to that point. This could be one of those years where it just might take a little bit longer to figure it all out.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I've had that same thought, too, that as much as we're bemoaning the December and January results, this might actually be a year where the month of March and April is remembered more so than any other, because it's going to be a completely different Kansas team by the time February 1 rolls around. Could be different by the time we go to TCU on Saturday, but I think it'll really take shape in terms of what Silvio can bring, in terms of what Billy Preston can bring, if they've had 2 or 3 weeks to get acclimated and fit in and kind of get confidence within the offensive flow. If that's the case, you just want to tread water over these next 3 weeks as best you can. Protect your home floor. When you can steal a game on the road like they did at Texas, man, that's awesome. Because then the stretch run, the last 5 weeks, you know, from February 1 on, is when you would expect Kansas to be at full strength and a little more acclimated with their new pieces, assuming you get them both. And maybe we shouldn't make assumptions, but you know, obviously they're still hopeful on the Billy Preston front. Bill Self said last night on Hot Talk he feels very good about the information that's now in the NCAA's hands, and they're just waiting on an answer that could come any minute. You know you're going to get Silvio. There's nothing to worry about in terms of his amateurism status. It's just kind of a tedious process that you have to go through. And Coach said yesterday it could be 7 to 10 more days. That's, to me, a little disappointing because I thought it might be as simple as a rubber stamp and away we go once academics were cleared up and everything was good to go there. But because it's a situation where you're dealing with an international player and the amateurism stuff requires questions like, okay, well, when he traveled from Angola to the States, who paid for the flight? When he was on this traveling international team for Africa, you know, who paid for things there? There's more to it. It's not as simple as, you know, okay, he was the star at Beloit High School, and so then he went to Lawrence, and that was a two-hour drive, and okay, we've got our receipts for gas, and away we go. It's a little tougher when you're talking about an import, you know, all the way from Angola. So a situation where it probably is going to take longer than we thought, and while I said there's still hope you could have him on Saturday, based on Bill Self's 7 to 10 days thing, it might not be till next week. So unfortunate that, you know, they couldn't get as much done during the holidays because the NCAA offices weren't open. And I wanted to ask Coach on Hawk Talk last night, you know, if we have to work during Christmas time, how come others don't? But I knew that that wouldn't be the right thing to say. Because obviously right now, you know, we appreciate what the NCAA is doing to try and get this thing worked through as, you know, expeditiously as possible. But at the same time, my goodness, it's been 14 games for Billy Preston.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kansas fans are up in a bit, and so is Billy, and so is his mom.
Yes.
Read Twitter the other night.
Yes.
So I think my point in saying all of this in response to what you said is, of course this could be a team that's remembered more for the late season run, because it may be the team that finally comes together in not the first, not the second, not the third, but the fourth month of the season. When have you ever seen that before? I mean, we've seen Sheck Diallo and Darnell Jackson and Josh Selby sit for 8 or 9 games. But when have you ever talked about a Kansas team that had not one but 2 5-star pieces that weren't truly in the mix, you know, in terms of what they're going to be until you're filling out your Valentine's Day card for your wife? I mean, that's usually when Kansas has 25 wins already and we're just fine-tuning that NCAA resume. So it's a different year, and it's my hope that over these next 3 weeks, like I said, they can tread some water, not gain a ton of ground, not get 2 full games back of West Virginia and Oklahoma and be hoping for help along the way. I think they'll get help because the league's that good, but you don't want to be in that position. You want to control your own destiny. So that's where Saturday isn't a must win. You're right. But, man, is it important, because if you win Saturday and you take care of business on your home floor next week against 2 teams that are – certainly very capable. Heck, Iowa State won here a year ago, and KU probably should have gone to overtime to K-State a year ago, and that's with Frank Mason and Josh Jackson. But these are games that you would expect Kansas to handle their business within. Then I think you've just bought yourself a week and a half of not digging a deeper hole in those Big 12 standings that by the end of that week and a half, I fully expect you'll have. at least one, if not both of those guys we talked about. And they may not be acclimated yet, but a 6'10", 245, that makes a difference. Because while they might not fully know the playbook just yet or fully feel comfortable just yet, you're not going to be out-rebounded by 15 and give up 18 offensive boards and give up 15 second chance points to Texas Tech if you had one or two other big bodies out there compared to the only one true big that you had who was playing hurt anyway. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that Billy or Silvio would not have made a difference, even if they didn't know up from down, left from right in the playbook. Just to be a presence physically, a body in there, would have made a difference versus Texas Tech. And so that's what I'm hopeful for in these next 7 to 10 days.
Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. You touched upon a few things I want to address here in regards to the issues that KU had against Texas Tech. And really, these have been issues they've had in other games as well. We talked about it after the game, I think whenever it was the game. When was the game? Tuesday night? Monday night?
Tuesday night.
Okay, so it was yesterday morning we were talking about it. And we talked about KU's defense. We talked about the rebounding, which you brought up, out-rebound by 15, second-chance points. The three-point shooting, which you and I know, and I think a lot of basketball fans out there know, you can go 17 of 35 in Austin. And I joked with a KU fan, a friend of mine, at our youth basketball tournament on Saturday. He said, man, we make 17 threes every game. I like our chances. I go, yeah. I said, now watch, they'll turn around and go 5 of 25 in their next game. And they almost did that, 6 of 26. And I didn't think they would do that at home, but they did. And we all understand that the three-point shooting is going to be there some nights it's not. That's just part of it. You live by the three, you die by the three. We understand that there's a four-guard lineup. They're undersized, don't have a lot of guys on the bench to come in and spell the bigs. So that rebounding could be an issue. But the conclusion we all came to as a staff yesterday morning, the biggest thing KU should be worried about is not the three-point shooting, not the rebounding necessarily, which will be helped if DeSosa and, of course, Preston are eligible. But the biggest concern, which is still going to be a problem perhaps, even with those two guys becoming eligible, is on the ball defense. We've seen teams now, Arizona State, we saw Washington, we certainly saw Texas Tech do it, especially late in the second half, where they get the matchups they want on switches, screens, whatever, and are able to drive the ball, break down the defense, and if it's not a layup, they can kick for a wide open three, and then what that does, it breaks down your defense, and now you're trying to find people to box out, and it's harder to find them when you're scrambling on defense.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis, and I completely agree with all of that, and I think that, you know, if there's one thing that Bill Self stays up late at night and is sweating, other than when's the phone going to ring from the NCAA, it's the fact that this team has not embodied that draw a line in the sand, hunker down, you're not crossing this point, you're not scoring on me, you know, mindset mentality. And he talked about the other night about how it makes him cringe as a coach to hear his players say the other team wanted it more. And he says he can do a better job of making them more competitively tough. And I think that can equate to the defensive breakdowns that you're talking about, because what's the one constant you can bring every night, even if it is a 5-for-25 three-point shooting night? What's the one consistent thing that if the ball's not going through the hoop mm-hmm. and your offensive plays aren't working, you can still show up to the gym with? It's effort, intensity, and that shows up in defensive presence and rebounding. And Kansas, at times, has been a better rebounding team than what you saw the other night. They actually were in the top three in several rebounding categories in the league entering the other night. But they've had several guys that have not rebounded to their full capacity or capability. Udoka's one of them. LeGerald and Svi the other night were two of them. But, you know, more consistently speaking, he'd like to see that on a night-in, night-out basis from both those guys, because they're 6'8 and 6'5 respectively. But defensively is the thing you brought up, and it's absolutely the thorn in KU's side right now. And, you know, Gary Payton's not going to walk through that door where all of a sudden you've got some kind of lockdown mm-hmm. glove defender, right? But I do think a couple of things can happen that will make them naturally a little bit better. But the biggest thing that could happen is just a mentality of, man, you know, we're going to be better at this. We're going to hunker down. We're going to make this our focus. And if we do anything at all for a 2018 New Year's resolution, it's to commit ourselves to being the best individual defenders we can be, so that collectively we can be the best team defensive team we can be. to me, it boils down to this in terms of natural help, though. If they get the second big, it'll be the first time, and when I say second big, I mean, you know, somebody to go with Doak, so you don't just have Mitch coming in to spell Doak.
Right.
If they get a second big in the mix, it can play three guards, two posts, it'll be the first time all year they will have done that. And what that does, and we've talked about this before, but I can't undersell it, if you can go to a three-guard lineup with a five- or six-guard rotation, you are so much fresher, which I realize these defensive problems don't just happen late in games when they're tired. They've happened throughout. And that's where it's got to start with the mindset. It's not just about fresh legs. But it's going to make a big difference if you're talking about five or six guards to play three spots and 60 total minutes, as opposed to five guards to play four guard spots, and you're covering 80 minutes, and guys like Devontae aren't coming off the floor at all, and you know, that's tough to do. And I'm sorry, I'm talking minutes and a half, by the way.
Right.
If we're talking minutes in a game, then obviously you're talking about 160 minutes or versus 120 minutes. And so my point is, I think the addition of Silvio or Billy, just in allowing self to go with two bigs in one rotation or two bigs in one, you know, five-man set will take a lot of pressure off of those guards and hopefully make them fly around more. They can take more chances. They have more fouls to give this way. Mm-hmm. You're not having to be careful with anything like that. Not that I think that's been a huge factor, but it could be. And I think that naturally makes you a little bit better. But the biggest thing has to start with a mindset. The biggest thing has to start with, this is my ball, you're not going to take it from me. I'm not going to cough it up 15 times like we saw on Tuesday and have half of those be live ball turnovers that lead to runouts on the other end. And I think clearly they've got guys that embody that mindset already. And it's not that the guys aren't trying hard, but there's an extra level that can be ratcheted up to in terms of the mental toughness and the, you know what, you're not going to come here and score on me. You're not going to get that rebound around me. This is my house. Get out of my way. Get out of my paint. Don't get close to the basket. We're going to come out and extend pressure on you like you did on us, Texas Tech. Kansas can't really do that right now because they're so dang thin and there's nobody else to put in there if they start to get gassed. If they have those types of numbers, I think they can extend pressure. They can extend intensity. They can ratchet it up a few notches, and they'll be naturally a little bit better. Will they ever be a great defensive team this year? Probably not, but they could be a very good one still. And if there's any coach that can instill it in them and preach it to the point of teaching it and getting it done, it's Bill Self. And so I realize it's January the 3rd or 4th here, and you know what? Normally we see progress a lot sooner in that regard. But like I said earlier, it's a rare year. We're still talking about being two pieces shy of what this puzzle is going to look like. And so let's have a little more patience and hope that we see real breakthrough and metamorphosis in the month of January and hope that by the time this team really starts to blossom on both ends of the floor and in the rotation and the total roster and all that, let's just hope that they're within a game of the Big 12 leader. Because if that's the case, give me the Hall of Fame coach with 13 rings. Give me the program that literally doesn't have space in its trophy room for all of its Big 12 titles to the point where four of them are sitting on the secretary's desk as if they're a stapler or a paperweight. Give me that program that's been there before, that's fought the fight, that's won the wars, that has guys with skins on the wall. Because, man, I'll take them any day of the week and twice on Sunday over the final 5 weeks once they're completely whole and acclimated, because that's the club that's done it. And Trae Young's amazing. But give me Bill Self's ability to scheme and come after him with a full complement of players, and I think you're going to find a way to see some of those numbers come down a bit. I think you're going to find a way for Kansas to win in Morgantown, and things are going to look a lot different than they have looked and the way fans are currently perceiving them these last couple of weeks.
All right, before we get to the off-the-wall question, just give us a quick analysis of TCU. That's the opponent on Saturday. TCU went to Waco and won. They could easily be 2-0. They lost by 1 point at home to Oklahoma, a game where they had a double-digit lead in the second half.
Yeah, they're really good, and you know, Trent Johnson left the next coaching staff led by Jamie Dixon, who's a future Hall of Famer in his own right. He left them a pretty full cupboard. I mean, when you look at some of the guys they had already on campus, like Kenrich Williams, who Bill Self says won't ever get credit for Big 12 Player of the Year because of a guy like Trae Young, but man, he's a stud. And you look at J.D. Miller and Brozianski, and then you add in Jalen Fisher and some of these guys, and I think Dixon's done a nice job, much like Chris Beard, of adding some nice pieces these first 2 years on the job to what was already a great foundation. And I told you this a year ago, we first started doing these, that the hiring of Jamie Dixon for a, I don't want to say sleeping giant of a program, but a sleeping contender of a program in TCU was the perfect fit because he's an alum who considers it a destination job. It's in the Metroplex, which turns out top 50 talent every year, and usually three or four of them. And they just had a $180 million stadium upgrade. Yeah. So, I mean, it could not have been a better time for Dixon to come home and take that job. And everybody considers TCU a ninth to tenth rung on the ladder during the Trent Johnson era. But he was finally starting to get guys. And he just ran out of time. He needed one more year, you know. It's like Bill Self in the 2012 national title game. He's convinced that game would have been 42 minutes and not 40, they would have won versus Kentucky. They just ran out of time. In this case, Trent Johnson just needed one more season, and I think he could have had it. But Dixon comes in and give him all the credit in the world. It's clicking now, and they won the NIT a year ago. I don't think their non-con schedule was especially hard. So, you know, I'm not going to prop them up too much at 13-1, but you still got to win those games. They beat Nevada. They obviously had a nice win the other night at Baylor, as you mentioned. And so I think we respect them a ton. I do not consider them one of the top three teams right now. I probably have them fourth behind the likes of West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Kansas, in my opinion, and Texas Tech.
Nope. Where'd he go? There he is.
But ahead of them, but you feel like TCU deserves all move. So that makes this game versus Kansas of huge opportunity and importance to them, and I think we'll absolutely get their best shot on Saturday.
All right, man, time for the off-the-wall question. Pretty simple. What was New Year's Eve like for Brian Haney?
My phone cut out. Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, what was New Year's Eve like for Brian Haney?
Oh, shoot, it was pretty tame. Pretty tame. I didn't do anything crazy.
Darn it, it was tame.
I was burning the candle from both ends over the last couple of weeks work-wise. So it was stay in, watch Ryan Seacrest look way too cold in Times Square.
Yes.
And have a meal with the family and call it good. So nothing too wild. I wish I had great stories for you there, but not this time.
Well, we didn't either. We just stayed home and watched the ball drop and watched Mariah Carey not wear enough clothing. When it was that cold out there in New York. So we saw the same thing.
Did she get
a
hot tea finally?
I don't know, and honestly, I don't even care. but they were cold out there. You're absolutely right about that. Well, Happy New Year to you, man, and hopefully 2018 will be as good to you as 2017 was, and we look forward to listening to you on Z96.3 Lake on Saturday, KU at TCU. Tip-off at 8:15. Safe travels, buddy.
Be a late night, but it's going to be a fun night. And if Kansas comes back with a win, man, we're going to be right back where we thought we'd be. So don't be piling off the bandwagon or thinking the sky is falling just yet. As Wade Davis has stupidly pointed out, it's an 18-game road, and we're just two games in. Thanks, buddy.
Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every week by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Jamie, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.